Today on Real Life Radio.
Whatever you have faith in is your God. And you know that's true. What is your faith in? Is it in the economy? Is it in the power of government? Is your faith in your health? What is your faith in? There is a faith that transcends this world. And it is the faith that you put in the God of the Bible. And if you've lived any bit of that life, you know that that's so very true.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Luke with a message titled, What Faith Has to Say. You know, the book of Luke really shows us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as only Luke, the physician, really could do. Now here, as we begin chapter 7, we'll see how faith is something people are always talking about, whether we realize it or not. You see, we exercise faith on a daily basis, maybe a company or a person or the economy. We apply faith to things we often assume upon or take for granted. But Jesus wants us to believe that He can do things beyond the ordinary in our lives. So today on part one of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that extraordinary faith usually rises up in a desperate situation. Faith beyond ourselves knows to get to Jesus. Now, in his message called What Faith Has to Say, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And the title of the message this morning is this, What Faith Has to Say. If faith was going to speak to us right now, what would it say? And in a real way, you're going to hear it from the life of this Roman centurion. By the way, Jesus said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. That's an amazing statement. Have faith in God. Now, you know what? If you're in a philosophy class or a logic class, you could kind of extrapolate back out of that and come to the conclusion that whatever you have faith in is your God. And you know that's true. What is your faith in? Is it in the economy? Is it in the power of government? Is your faith in your health? Is your faith in your position? What is your faith in? There is a faith that transcends this world. It is spiritual, it is true, it is factual, and it is the faith that you put in God, in the God of the Bible. And if you've lived any bit of that life, you know that that's so very true. And so this morning, follow along with me if you would. Luke chapter 7, we're in verse 1. There the scripture says, now when he, Jesus, concluded all of his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. And so when he had heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and to heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying, the one for whom he should do this was deserving. Verse 5, listen to this quote. For he loves our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter my roof or under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man placed under authority. Having soldiers under me, I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, no, not even in Israel. And those who were sent returning to the house found the servant well who had been sick. What an amazing moment this is. Keep this in mind before we get into the points of the study right now. Jesus had been preaching what is recorded in Luke chapter 6 as the great sermon. He had come down from probably Mount Hermon down to a hilly area to a flat place. For the wording used in Luke 6 was that Jesus came to a flat area and he began to speak. Jesus in the setting had been teaching and preaching the kingdom of God. And after that, coming down from that high mountain, he's now speaking, and he calls his 12 disciples out of the group of gathering there. Here's a region you can see. This is the Galilee. In fact, you see the houses going to the right and then the high rises down to the left. Those are the homes, obviously. They're in Tiberias. And then the high rises are the hotels that are there at Tiberias. Here's another area near the Golan Heights or in the Galilee region. Jesus would have been, and hasn't changed, by the way, in thousands of years. This is where Jesus would have been teaching. He's coming from that great mountain that would be behind your back in this photo down to where he would be, Capernaum is right in the middle of your picture right there. That's where he's heading. He's walking that way. And word comes to Jesus as a centurion is in need. And so the first thing I want you to realize, mark it down if you would, point number one in our study is what faith has to say. Number one, faith says, think outside the box. Faith says, think outside the norm, think outside the box. Because Jesus Christ had come, yes, the Bible says he first came to the nation of Israel. This man was a Gentile from Italy. This guy was an Italian. He was not of the commonwealth of Israel. But Jesus first comes preaching the gospel to the nation of Israel. But there were a nation, an empire occupying the land. In this case, there was a Roman centurion guard who had heard about Jesus. And I want you to be thinking outside the box this way. Number one, jot it down. Because faith thinks outside the box, faith calls for help. I want every man to write that down. This is so not us. Listen, guys, faith calls for help. You say, I don't get that. If I have faith, I don't need to call for help. That's stupidity, guys, and we have a lot of it in our lives. We think that if we call for help, that it's a sign of weakness. That just is pure arrogance. The truth of the matter is, faith says think outside the box because faith calls for help. When you call for help, you are expecting, listen carefully, you are expecting someone to be on the other side, don't you? You believe that there's somebody on the other side. If you dial 911, you expect an answer. You hope anyway. You don't want to get put on hold. When you dial 911, you are calling for help. You're calling for backup. You're calling for comfort in the midst of trouble. If you and I truly have faith, we are going to be doing this one thing. We're going to be calling out to God for help. Verses 1 and 2, it says here, now when he, Jesus, concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. The Bible tells us, as you can see here, that Capernaum being in the north on the west side of the Galilee Sea. This is where the man is out of. This is where he's stationed, apparently. This is his community. And the Bible tells us that he is going to be a great blessing. Here is that area. And we have another slide. Check this out. This is, and those of you who have been there, and there's a lot of you that's been to this location, we've actually had a chance to preach several messages inside that synagogue. This is the synagogue that was reassembled of this centurion's building. This centurion gave either the money or somehow the right for the Jews in Capernaum to build it. That is the only synagogue found in Capernaum, and the archaeological evidence proves that this is in fact the one found right here in Luke chapter 7. Aren't you glad and happy that your faith is founded upon fact? I love that you can open the Bible and go look at the sites. That is so great. So just imagine for a moment, all the people gathered around, they're worshipers of the Lord, and the centurion took great delight in seeing God's people worship the Lord. But remember, he's a Gentile, and in that sense, alienated from the people of Israel. But imagine for a moment, if you would, when the Bible tells us here in verses 1 and 2 that Jesus had concluded his teaching and that he's heading toward Capernaum. I wonder what the city was thinking. You guys, Jesus is pretty famous. By the time we come to Luke chapter 7, people have heard of him from southern area of Israel, northern Egypt, all the way up into Syria, into Lebanon, up into those regions. Jesus is pretty well known. And hundreds of thousands of people are trying to find out where he is to listen to what he has to say. And imagine a community hearing Jesus is coming. That Jesus that we're hearing about, he's coming. Amen. That Jesus that we've been having people report back to us and say, man, I couldn't see, now I see, he's healed me. This is the Jesus that's coming. People began to talk, people began to get excited, and the centurion heard that Jesus was coming. But faith, real true faith, sees God outside the box. Remember, the children of Israel carried God around, so to speak, in a box, didn't they? When they were in their wilderness wanderings, God had given them the architectural design of the Ark of the Covenant, and God said, "There I will meet you," didn't he? And that's where he met them. The glory of God in the tabernacle of meeting with Moses shone over that ark. Then the ark was moved into the temple of God in Jerusalem. And so, in a sense, God was out of the box and in the temple. The Bible tells us that when Solomon was there and the temple was completed, the glory of God illuminated the temple, and the priests could not even enter inside the temple due to the fact of the presence of God. Can you imagine? That would be awesome. Can you imagine looking at the glow of God coming out of the temple, and you're supposed to go in because the priest order, okay, go in, and you're going in, and it's like, wow, I'm not going to go in there. This is altogether awesome. But then listen, the temple no longer stands. And if we understand the Bible, that's a very fine thing for us. Because you know what? Our God, even King David said, our God cannot dwell in temples made with hands. Did you hear that? You can't make a box to put God in. You can't make a building to put God in. God doesn't dwell in this building until you show up. You say, what? It's true. God doesn't dwell in this building until you show up. Because if you're a believer, says the Bible, if you're born again, says Jesus, we are now temples of the living God. He dwells in us. And wouldn't it be amazing for a moment that if we cut ourselves, if we tripped and hurt our, you know, we got a little rip on our knee, that wouldn't it be amazing if the glory of God kind of shot out of that little, look, he's glowing. But that's not true, but I'm just saying the Bible does say that the Holy Spirit dwells in us who are believers. And it's no more that kind of earthly glory, the glory is coming, or I should say we're going to it. Unless Jesus comes today and comes to us and brings it. But the truth of the matter is, faith is outside the box, and a true manifestation of that is if we call upon the Lord. And this man is going to be calling on the Lord. Secondly, faith says, think outside the box, because faith knows to get to Jesus. Have you noticed everywhere in the world, Jesus Christ is either worshiped or hated? His name is either praised or cursed all around the world. How do you explain that? In any culture, it's bizarre. Jesus' name is cursed or praised. People bow their head to thank him for lunch, and people curse him when they hit their finger with a hammer. The name of Christ. You'll either run from it or you'll be drawn to it. This centurion, as we shall see, he's thinking outside the box. He's thinking this, if God is God, and I've listened to some of these sermons that are being held in the synagogue, if God is God, then he's big. If God is God, then he's not burdened or laden with the little silly things that humans bicker back and forth about. Think about it. If God is God, the centurion, I'm assuming, I'm making this up right now. The centurion could have thought, if God is God, if he's not contained in a box, and he's not contained in a building, then how can he be contained among just a people or just a race or just a group? Maybe God is reaching out to everybody, calling to all people. Maybe for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, we would say today, amen? Maybe. Maybe if you're Filipino, Italian, maybe if you're Russian or Spanish, or maybe if you're a German or a Canadian, that you can call out to God. That's thinking about God outside the box. No one can come up and say, well, you know, I'm this or I'm that, or how about this? I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Lutheran, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Calvary Chapeler. That doesn't impress God, nor does that grant you access to God. He's not limited by a denomination. He's not limited by a movement. He's awesome. He's beyond all that. The Bible says God is spirit, and he's looking for those to worship him in spirit and in truth. So look at verse 3. He knows, because faith knows to get to Jesus. So when he heard about Jesus, have you heard about Jesus? He sent elders of the Jews to him pleading with him to come and to heal his servant. We can't spend too much time on this verse, but it is pregnant with power. Look at this. So when he heard about Jesus, and so the question begs, what have you heard about Jesus? Church, are you with me? You're awful quiet. Are you here? What have you heard about Jesus? Has that affected you? You think something about him based upon what you've heard. Some people say, I have no problem with Jesus. It's Christians I can't stand. I understand that. I had a friend of mine who's a pastor of a church, and he said, you know what? I love God. Christians just drive me nuts. And he's the pastor of the church. I understand that. But listen, what have you heard about Jesus?
I don't go to church anymore because I had a pastor one time hurt my feelings.
I'm sorry, but what have you heard about Jesus? It's about Jesus. Secondly, this Roman centurion Italian pizza-eating spaghetti guy sends Jewish leaders, Jewish religious leaders, listen to this Italian centurion, and he says to them, hey, can you guys go to Jesus? Well, we don't like Jesus. Yeah, you know what? Just listen to me. I'm asking you religious leaders, go to Jesus and plead with him to come here, please. My servant's sick. And they go. What kind of religious leaders are they? Well, we know that they appreciate the fact that they make a statement, this man loves our nation and built us a synagogue. That's their observation. That's their appreciation. This guy doesn't care about that. He cares about one thing. His servant is sick. And you might say, well, Jack, this is a message on slavery. No, it's not. Sounds like it in the English, I guess. My servant's sick. Jesus, come heal my servant. I can't pick up my coffee. Jesus, come and heal my servant. Who's gonna vacuum the hut? That's not what this is about. In fact, we can prove it. The very wording that's used here is that the centurion loves his servant. The word is compassion. Plead with Jesus. Beg him to come. Because listen, what pains my servant is heavy on my heart. He doesn't even care about him being a servant. He cares about his servant being relieved of the suffering that he's in. Listen, you know if you have true compassion when someone else's pain becomes the burden of your heart. When you look at somebody else and you say, oh Lord, help them. Oh God, I would give my right hand to bless them. Have you ever looked at somebody and you're moved? It's a supernatural thing. It doesn't happen every time. Have you noticed that? When you just might glance over and you see someone, have you seen someone who's handicapped or someone who's been somehow disadvantaged or broken down on the freeway and you're moved? I was coming home the other day and that was a great broad freeway and there was a divider in between. There was no physical way for me to get back on the other side of that freeway to help that lady who was just about, and watch this, guys, you cringe when you think of this. Her car, you could see the steam coming out of her hood. She raises her hood as I'm driving on the opposite direction, and I see her reaching for the radiator cap. Oh, man, ladies or guys, if you don't know, don't ever touch your radiator cap in that situation. And I just said, oh, Lord Jesus, don't let her touch it. I couldn't do anything about it but shoot a fast prayer up to heaven. And I just thought of her hands being scalded and burned, leaving some flesh on that cap when she jerked her hand away. You look at somebody and you're moved and you would say, if I could just give them my own eye, that they might have sight. You're moved by that. This centurion, who's a hard man, he's a centurion. He leads 100 men of the Roman army. He's there as an occupier, spit on, made fun of, mocked. It's his job to be tough. This guy is moved with compassion toward his servant. Compassion is your pain in my heart. That's the word that he would say today if that centurion was here. But listen, either knowingly or unknowingly, knowingly get to Jesus. That's his request. And unknowingly, would he say that I need Jesus too? Is this story much broader than what we give it face value when we look at it? He hears about Jesus. He sends the elders, and they're pleading under his orders. I want you to go to him. I want you to plead with him and ask him to heal my servant. This is amazing. This centurion could have had Jesus arrested and brought. Did he? No. Third point, or third consideration under this point, faith says, think outside the box, because faith cries out to God. Faith cries to God, verses 4 and 5, and when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly. That is, they pleaded, saying that the one whom you should do this is deserving. How come? Verse 5, for he loves our nation and he's built us a synagogue, because faith cries out to God. Very, very important. So verses 4 and 5, notice this. This is what they say, and here's the inside of it. It's beautiful. By the way, there's a second level that existed. Notice what they say. Church, listen carefully to this. Hey, this guy is right on. Jesus, will you come? We're pleading with you. We're begging you. Come. Here's the reasons why. Number one, he loves our nation. He's sympathetic to the Jewish nation. Number two, he built us a synagogue. I mean, how cool is that, Jesus? Come on. I mean, from one Jewish guy to another, this Gentile built us a synagogue. So he, what's the word they use? He's deserving. That sounds, doesn't it sound nice? And it is nice. It's just not correct theology. Yeah, there's a lot of people running around today saying, God bless me because I've been really obedient to you. God bless me because I'll give you 10%. God bless me because I'll do this and I won't do the other. You think God goes, oh, goody, goody. Wow. He's not impressed with that stuff. That doesn't move him. Jesus is very deserving. You've read the Bible. Is any man deserving of the goodness of God? The Bible says no, not one. You say, Pastor, evidently you haven't met me yet. I'll meet you in the foyer after service. No, sweetie, not even you. Not even you. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, starting with me. Paul the Apostle said no, starting with me. Paul said, I'm the chief of all sinners. Paul the Apostle said that. Every one of us who know and have taken a close look at the Word of God, we tell Paul, Paul, scoot over. I'm the chief of sinners. Have you noticed that? He said, Jack, I don't like when you talk like that. I want you to talk positive. I am talking positive. Just wait. It gets really good. I hope, anyway. It should. And so they say he's worthy. But the truth of the matter is this. The Bible makes it very clear that what's happening here is that this man is being converted, or if not, is already converted to his faith or trust in faith upon Christ. Get Jesus. I'm calling out to God. I need Christ. Why? Because my servant needs help. The Bible tells us in Romans 10, 11 to 13, for the scripture says, listen, whoever believes on him, that word means to pull up a chair and sit down. Do you have that kind of confidence? You just come in and just sit right down. You're so sure that Jesus is your Lord. Listen, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between the Jew or the Greek, or the Jew and the Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich toward all those who call upon him. Isn't that great?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called What Faith Has to Say. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Now, imagine what could happen to your spiritual life when you make devotions a part of it. Now, a special time with the Lord to both talk to him and listen to him is a great thing. To read a verse from Scripture, let God know what it means to you. And Pastor Jack understands the importance of devotions. And it's why he shares personal experiences in a devotion-type setting at his website. Simply go to jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Devotions. Once you're there, you'll find a brand new devotion each week. You can also subscribe to his devotional list for daily reading. And if you are blessed by Pastor Jack's devotions, which I'm going to say you probably will be, there's a way for you to email him and let him know all about it. Tell him about it. You can do it directly. It's all right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.